crisis. Members introduce themselves, then Centec and DOC will introduce themselves, then I'll take it from there. As I said, I'm the chairperson. I represent Mpumalanga, the beautiful province, in the National Council of Provinces, where I think Centec maybe will tell us today what is happening in those in all the provinces. Over to you, Honourable Member.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Herman Groenewald, representing the North West Province and member of the committee.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Zola Mlenzana from the province of Eastern Cape, member of the committee.
Merach Mense. My name is Pet Sibande. I am from Mpumalanga province of Lekke, Goeiedag.
Good afternoon, honorable members. My name is Thabo Mungake. I am the chairperson of Centec Board.
Good afternoon, honorable members. My name is Situma Mohake, the CEO of Centec.
Thank you.
Honorable members, my name is Hangi Matavane. I'm the COO of Centec.
Good afternoon, honorable members. My name is John Jocha. I'm a non-executive director at Centec.
Good afternoon. My name is Steve Mulala. I'm the non-executive member of the Centec.
My name is Eric Mashile. Good afternoon. I'm a non-executive director.
Sorry, this is wrong. Good afternoon. My name is Paris Mashile. I'm the board member of Centec.
Good afternoon. My name is Leah Kwalo. I'm also a board member of Centec.
Good afternoon, honorable members. I'm Mesuri Dlamini, non-executive director at Centec.
Good afternoon. My name is Roy Kruger. I'm the technical advisor to the Minister of Communication.
Honorable chair and members, good afternoon. I'm Tena Perry. I'm the director general of the Minister of Communications.
Good afternoon. My name is Wanda Rangamanda. I am the Chief Director for Technology Infrastructure at the DOC, the DTT Project Office. My name is Tim Manzini. I'm Director at the Development of Communications, ICT Policy Department.
Thank you. Thank you, Honorable Members. My name is Mondi Ngeleni. I'm coming from Centec, Office of the CEO. Thank you.
Hi, good afternoon. My name is Data Anthony. I'm in the DG's office in Cape Town. Thanks.
Good afternoon. My name is Mahozo Chimonde from Centec, Acting Company Secretary.
Good afternoon. My name is Johanna Boyton. I'm from PMG.
Good afternoon. I am Loli Sibis. I am the Committee Secretary.
Good afternoon, my name is Renelle Barreto, I'm the researcher for the committee.
Honourable Mavija, we apologise for starting before you come. Can you introduce yourself? And Honourable Jacob.
The colleague was Mshumo, then Mpunpe Mavija Ribuane, the member of our committee, the Dwanda Vashime, became the committee. Dolibu.
Our agenda It's a joint update by the Department of Communications and Centec on Broadcasting and Digital Migration. That's the first item. The second one will be consideration of minutes, our last minute. I'm not sure whether we don't have the apology for the DG, because usually we know and we understand as the committee that the minister on Wednesday, our ministers attend the cabinet meetings. So even though cabinet is in the morning, now that we had a joint sitting, so cabinet is sitting now, I understand the minister is there, but the DG should have been here. And I would like to say we didn't actually get the apology. We didn't get an apology from the DG, honorable members. So I think we will await an apology from the DG that Piri, you will send the message to the DG that we would have liked to be with her today here. Because when we say the Department of Communications, like I said, if the minister is not here, the DG must really be here. Because this committee sits on a Wednesday when cabinet sits. We've got three departments that we are doing oversight on. It's labor, it's public enterprises, and it's communications. So usually we pardon the ministers because they are attending the cabinet. But we really want to see the DGs here. So I think it is understandable. And the apology mustn't go to Loli Zaitin. Apology of the DG must actually come straight to the chairperson. Do you want to say something?
This is not here. Who is here then? Who is delegated to be here on his behalf? On her behalf.
Can we hear?
They cannot run a meeting like that.
Can we hear who's here on behalf of the DG?
I would check the sign and members. I have been delegated to represent the department together with the four-member team that I am leading. I do apologize that a formal apology wasn't sent. I assume that the DG's office would have communicated appropriately. DG did ask me to come officially to represent the department.
Thank you for the information, but next time if we come across such a thing, we will be forced to attend the meeting. Thank you.
Okay.
Next time, ara rusina minister, rusina wa department, mulwane, aranga dola na mtangano na subordinate aid. Ezo zito pala.
Like I said, we're going to hear from Centec Department on the broadcasting at digital migration. We have re-looked at our strategic plan as the Select Committee on Labor and Public Enterprises. That includes communications that we're going to listen to what is taking place in our provinces, and after listening, then we will go to the project that you will be telling us. And we hope and understand that by 2014, we would have done, justice to the people in serving the people of South Africa. Over to you. I don't know who is going to do the presentation first. With CETEC, then the department will follow. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members. As I've indicated, my name is Thabo Mungake, the Chairperson of the CETEC Board. Today, Honorable Chair, before I was the Chair, on the 23rd of November 2011, I was informed that the board appeared before you, and they were advised to form some synergies with the committee, where they have challenges in terms of accessing municipalities, so that those synergies are there. And I checked, and I find that there is some synergies, especially on a low power project, you're working together, and as I'm sitting here, I'm committing to see to it that relationship grows more and more. We will be following up on your programs. I think we saw something like you're going to the Northern Cape in a few months to come. We'll go and check some work there and see how we can come in and assist there. And as I've indicated, really today is about the deputy as per your invitation. And I would like CEO to lead because we have prepared the presentation. Thank you very much.
Honourable Chair, Honourable Members, thank you very much. Thank you very much, Chairperson. The last time when we came here and we presented the DGT plan, one of the striking things, and I think that was also wrapped around DGT, was consideration for implementing DGT, particularly in the rural areas. We noted that the initial plan that we present today of where we are was skewed around the urban areas. That was a plan designed around 2006. Today we are going to present a plan that has been revised together with the department that had a more provincial shape to it, to provide the dates of rollout to the different provinces. Will tell you where we are going to be rolling out the DTT infrastructure in which provinces at which sites between now and March. To get to the percentage population coverage that we put in our corporate plan. The DTT project, the department will provide a much broader context to the other activities around DTT. We are just a subset of that. What we do is we implement the transmission network and the rest of the issues will then be discussed by the department. But I think it was noteworthy, the minister mentioned early in the year that the previously announced date of analog switch-off of December 2013 would most likely not be met, and that minister will then announce a new date in the future. What we know is that by June 2015, the networks that we have currently will not be protected. And that we will have to have switched off the analog systems by then. However, what the minister noted was that there was a commitment to do to complete a number of requirements for a DTT project. For example, the amended PDM policy, broadcasting migration policy, that also affects the work of Centec that was completed early. And then issues around set-top box, the standard in particular, that also affects the way we create and design the network that has been done. The regulations, the DTT regulations from ICASA, again, those affect the work that we do at Centec. Those will be completed very soon. Right now we know that ICASA, the draft regulations are going for public comment or public hearings in on the 21st. Of August. Meaning that both Centec now will have full certainty of the requirements for us to build a network. And also it will mean also full certainty for the broadcasters and certainly then the public. when we met, the minister has also then said, given that the project is really a multi-stakeholder project, how do we ensure that there is greater alignment? For example, it's one thing for us to put a network, but then people have to be informed about DDT. The set-top boxes have to be delivered there, and so on and so forth. So what we then proposed and then was accepted, at least in our corporate plan, was a provincial project plan for the rollout. But before we go into the project plan on page 7 of the presentation, is where are we right now in, with respect to the population coverage and the different provinces. So on page 7 we show the map of the current coverage. We have reached, certainly have reached 60% population coverage. In terms of geographic coverage, it's much less than that. It's about 30% or so geographic coverage. The reason being that there is more coverage of the urban areas. That is the current phase. We've also taken cognizance of reporting on the basis of rural and urban, and we note that that 60%, or almost 61%, is skewed more towards currently towards urban. So that 61% is made up of 49% urban and then 12% rural. That's page 7 of the presentation. Kala. We have a Kala. So page 7 again shows the current coverage per province, and also with a split of rural and urban. And what is noteworthy is that currently DTC is there in all provinces, definitely, and covering at least 30% of population of each province as we speak. And this was the status as of end of March 2012 this year. And then the sites where we have done the DTG conversion for the 60% population coverage, we've stated those on page 8. Now moving on, page 9 or page 10 then shows the project plan for the rest of the project. Our target for this financial year up until end of March is to do 8% population coverage. Our target is also to complete the province of Limpopo completely, do all the conversion of all the sites in Limpopo, do all the conversion of all the sites, existing sites in Free State, similarly complete Mpumalanga, and also complete KZN, and then also start doing some work in Eastern Cape, Northwest, and then Western Cape. So by the end of this financial year, by the end of March 2012, we will have been completed Limpopo, Mpumalanga, Free State, and KZN. And we can go into the details of when each of the provinces will be completed. But certainly Limpopo is the last one that will be completed by the towards the end of March. The reason being there is that we have noted there were a couple of sites there where we have to rebuild. Most of the equipment was in containers, the analog equipment. So say the DTC equipment must be in brick and mortar buildings. So we're going back and building, create new buildings around the sites, and then we put the equipment in there. So the construction work is going to take some time to do before we put the equipment there. And that's the only reason why there will be delays. But we have also taken a view that we are running, in particular, the rollout in Limpopo very carefully. The COO and myself sit on weekly meetings with the project team, and we have raised the issue that Limpopo, delivery of Limpopo because of the extra work that has been done there is something that has to be reported on a weekly basis. So we're quite confident that we'll be able to meet our targets. On page 11 then we've given them the provinces that will have completed by the end of the financial year. The first province there will be, provinces will be, Free State will be the first one around January, and then followed by Mpumalanga, and then closed by KZN, and then Limpopo. And then thereafter, we'll, as you said, mesh into
sorry,
this
sorry, can I jump in there? Sorry, you mentioned 2012 March.
Isn't 2013, sorry. 2013. Yes. Certainly 2013. And that would have then reached 80% of the population. On page 13, then we show how many sites we have to do this year to get that coverage. You see that in Mpopo, the one, there's 8 sites that have to be done. The one site in Beresford is a greenfield site. That's an area where people have not had good coverage. So together with SABC, we are putting a new high power site from scratch. And this is at almost 150 meter mast that we have to create. So that won't be converted because it's a new site. Also in Free State around Harry Smith, we are creating we're building a completely new site, but we are converting all the 11 existing sites. In Mpumalanga, there is an end site that will be converting all of them. And then KZN is 21 sites that we convert in. The one site in Ulundi has required a completely new mast. It's actually all sites, so we've excluded from this program for this financial year. And then 6 sites in Western Cape, 2 sites in Northwest, and then 10 sites in Eastern Cape. We've seen that this year we won't be putting any extra sites in the Northern Cape. The two reasons there. One is the infrastructure there, we have to do a lot more work. All the antennas have to be replaced. And what happens is that the antenna can weigh almost like 2 tons, very, very heavy. We have riggers who pull the antennas up. And we have to, we want to make sure that we do that in a special way, and we don't have the burden of having to do the other sites at the center. However, it doesn't mean that the Northern Cape, in particular on the other side, will be benefiting quite a lot. We are putting a more effort on the low power project, where we target our communities and we put low power sites for radio and television. So there will be a lot of activity happening in the Northern Cape around basic broadcasting services, and as the DTT will then happen later. The complete conversion of all the sites will be when we say by December 2013, we will then have completed our part of the project on converting all committing all the provinces. I think it's quite noteworthy that once we have done a province, then the rest of the work around citizen support, the logistics of distributing, for example, set-top boxes, can then be done in a province. So this provincial rollout program then gives structure to the rest of the activities that are required for the success of the project. On page 14, we're given the names of the sites where we will be doing the conversion in this financial year, page 14. And then on the other matters, the network that we roll out will eventually be used by broadcasters, so we have to give them tariff themselves so that they can do their business models. We have gone the first round or completed the first round of workshops with them on the DTT tariffs. They've given us some feedback. We're making some changes based on that feedback. We will be meeting with them by the 25th of August, and hopefully we'll have responded to all the issues around tariffs. And then we'll then go and then build our own business plan so that we all understand what Centec will look like over the next 8 to 10 years. The intention is to complete all the tariff and commercial proposals to broadcasters by the end of September. And that also gives them certainty. And under the regulations, we will be submitting those commercial offers to the regulator by the end of September. Since we were here, we have recently received an additional mandate on an issue that was put in the or referred to in the BDM policy as amended in February and also in the set-top box standard. And that is really about dysfunction called set-top box control, which at a minimum talks about physical security of set-top boxes, and particularly those that have that are subsidized by government, and this is to protect government investment. It's not a very easy problem. It does affect everybody around DTT. But at the end of the day, the mandate is to make sure that the investment by government on the sector board is protected. Just want to go into the mandate really is based on upgrading our existing platform, the encryption platform, as I think we talked about last time we were here. I think we were asked about what we're going to do about the spillage of our broadcast signals. As part of upgrading the system, in fact, we are going to solve that problem. At the same time as making sure that satellite technology is used to provide 100% access, particularly of public broadcasting services. And we are on that, working with the department, the project office at the ministry, and also the broadcasters. What we asked for was what are challenges that we are facing. Really, it is not yet a challenge. I think there will be responsiveness there. In the last MTF cycle, we were fully funded for the capital project of the company, of the capital expenditure part of the project. We are fully funded. This new mandate then requires slightly more money, but we are working with the department to make sure that we have the extra the additional allocation in the next MTF period to fund this additional mandate. But in the meantime, the board has taken a view that because of the importance of this particular function, we can proceed to implement the function based on existing funds, again in the interest of the project, and then we'll deal with the issue of funding allocation and so on in the next year. And that's our presentation on the network part of the project. Thank you very much, Jefferson.
Okay, thank you very much. Can we now get some additions, if there are any? And then maybe the department can also come in at this point in time before, are you looking at me? Before the questions from members. Department, Mr. Pierce. We want the department also to present, and then after we get all the presentations, then we put questions to Centec and to the department, and that maybe the department will also be able to explain. Yeah. Okay. I'm only on that one.
I'm being told that we shouldn't worry about the gender sensitivity, because that's only one woman against 10 men. She's strong enough to handle this.
That's Let's use copies in the meantime, Mr. Perry.
That's fine.
What? Olivia can call somebody from IT.
Yes, it does sound like a valid voice. Honorable Chairperson, thank you very much. Sincere apologies again on the absence of the DG. Again, my name is Temba Piri and I'm a Deputy Director General. So, Chairperson, I think Centec would have made our work very easy because they run through some of the issues. But first and foremost, I would want to define what digital broadcast migration is. We are really talking about a transitioning of broadcasting system in the country from analog to digital. So it's a technology migration that we're talking about. Of importance to note here is that digital technologies are known to be very efficient with respect to spectrum usage. So in that way, the current analog frequencies or the technology, broadcasting technology, is expected to release radio frequency spectrum, which can be used for other services. Currently, these have been earmarked for mobile services, as it were, international mobile technologies, IMTs. The other advantages of this digital technology is the fact that the viewers at home are going to have a better quality. Of course, in this case, there is high definition television and standard definition television, but both systems are actually much better as compared to analog. So the quality of the picture is much, much better. As well, we are expecting, in fact, this has also occurred elsewhere, that during digital broadcasting, our broadcasters are going to have a lot of channels. Definitely, SABC will not have less than 16 channels. Of course, this would need content to be ready. But the other national issues which this transition is going to address is the fact that we are a county of 11 languages, and in the three channels that we have, we're not able to address all of the languages, particularly the minority languages. So as well as the content diversity, we currently do not have a public channel, for instance, news, or a dedicated sports channel. So this transition will see us benefiting in that respect. This transition, I wanted to mention that it's actually a compulsory transition because it is ratified by the country in terms of the ITU decision. A decision we're talking about here is the Geneva 2006, which took a resolution that we have to do this within a specified period. The target date we are looking at now is the fact that we have concluded this migration at least by the target date of 17 June 2015. And of course, earlier there was a date which was set, and it's very clear that it's not possible to meet that date. In fact, that date had already passed the set-off date of 2011 November. The other update was that our migration was delayed because there was a discussion in the SADC region about the standard. And I do recall that in 2010 we came to update the committee about this issue of the DVB-T versus ISDB-T standard. And the decision which was taken by SADC at that time was that it would be better for the Southern African region to adopt DVB-T2 moving into T2, which is the second generation standard of DVB-T. As you know, this migration, the manner in which it's approached in the county, it's a policy-driven migration.
So there was a policy which was adopted in 2008. This policy had considered all of the factors, including all role players, the need for content, the need for technology, signal distribution, BICETEC, and all of the SABC in this regard. And we also, because of the discussions around technology that I referred to earlier, we then had to amend the policy because the technology change meant that that particular issue had to be changed in the policy of the country. So the DVB-T2 technology was adopted and decided on by cabinet, which was then included in the policy. We also looked at the time frame issue of when to switch on and when to switch off. In this case, we are expecting to switch on, or to launch, rather, I should say, to launch digital migration in the course of September this year, which is just next month, and the preparations are ongoing on this. In both instances, the switch of date has not been announced as yet, but the Minister has given an indication that it is not helpful to actually talk about switch off when you have not actually launched the services themselves. So during this course of the dual elimination process, which is a period wherein we will be running both the analog channels, which are currently there now, so ETV, SABC 1, 2, and 3 will be running as they are, and there will be other of the same channels which run on digital, so that we could have a smooth migration. This is a trend throughout the world. Other markets have actually, smaller markets, in fact, I should say, would have done a hard switchover. I'm talking about markets like Mauritius and Namibia behind us here. But in this case, so during the period of rolling out with the work that CENTEC is doing and the SABC, both systems are then running. This is a very costly exercise, but at the end it shows that nobody in the country is actually excluded from doing their service. So in the slide that is currently showing now, it's a depiction of how the analog transmission happens. And in this case, analog TV signals simply receives the signals directly through an antenna. Yet in digital terrestrial television, there is a requirement for a set-top box decoder, which set-top boxes will be manufactured locally in the country. But that slide is simply showing that the signal, the analog TV, needs a set-top box to be able to give you that quality picture I was talking about. And so the encoding of the signal is done by the set-top box, a decoder, and then it gives you the picture we're anticipating. On some of the policy issues, really, is to indicate that this transition does not necessarily change the already standing free broadcasting tier, which is commercial, public, and community television. So all of this transmission actually happens in the same, in the rather existing system in the country. And so it is not actually disruptive because then the policy has affirmed that. This also will enable the promotion of competition. So we are anticipating really that there will be new licensed services in this regard. Operators will apply to CENTEC, CENTEC will issue licenses, and so we will in the future see new broadcasters in addition to SABC, ETV, and the MNET DSTV multi-source group. We have in the department already established a digital migration office which is assisting with the rollout of this program, and it is still understaffed at the moment, and we are currently busy filling up some of the positions that are actually there. A key important factor in this is the fact that the cabinet in March adopted a set-top box manufacturing strategy and a scheme of ownership support program, which is simply a subsidy program for the set-top box decoder that I spoke about earlier. So set-top boxes will be subsidized in the country, and these two framework documents actually give a framework on how this will be distributed. There is another component which the minister just recently gazetted, which is a qualifying criteria which will help, you know, how people are going to access the subsidy itself. So that is going out for public comment so that there is public participation in that. With regards to the communication awareness, which is a very important component of this, because you really have to educate people to take action. You have to inform people on what to do, where to go in order to get the set-top boxes, as it were. And we have finalized the plan for this. What we call the teaser campaign had already begun, and we are currently appointing a service provider to roll out the program for over the next 3 years. As well, the set-top box conformance authority has been allocated to the South African Bureau of Standard. The South African Bureau of Standard will ensure compliance of the set-top boxes that are used in the market, South African market. So I should also say that the set-top box specification, which took a bit of time to finalize because, you know, it's a consensus building process, it was actually finalized and launched on the 6th of June in Cape Town. What's important to note is that the set-top box conformance does not necessarily exclude the fact that markets like China may send decoders here, but it is important to know that this set of boxes have to conform to our standard requirements. And this is why the SAS has to do that role. Now, we have taken a view here that because of the work involved, we needed to use the South African Post Office in the logistics and the warehousing of the set of boxes. Also because the South African Post Office has a wide-reach network which reaches many rural areas through their outlets. And we believe that it could actually play a significant role insofar as reaching most of our rural areas. So they will be helping the rollout of the set-top boxes. And the department is actually implementing a rather centralized system so that we can reduce the cost of doing all of this. This does not mean that, say, for instance, outlets like OK or Checkers, if they are able to adapt with the system that the South African Post Office would have developed, they won't be able to distribute. I should also indicate that this set-top box, the subsidy is targeting about 5 million, but really there's an additional 6 million set-top boxes, which people really have to buy. So people who really afford, I mean, the state does not have to subsidize someone who really can afford their services, so they will have to buy these boxes in the outlets out there. So we have entered into an MOU, the South African Post Office, and a lot of progress has been made here. The voucher system that we are aiming to implement is already at an advanced stage. Just briefly about the procurement and of the set-top boxes, how we're looking at it. We have issued a request for proposals, so it's a competitive bidding process. So the bidders will propose to the department in line with the specifications which were issued by SAPS, and as well as the set-top box control system that Centec is implementing, how much will the decoder be. So we do have an indicative figures because indeed DVB-T2 boxes are not as yet widely adopted throughout the world. DVB-T2 chipsets are actually implemented in very few markets. So we are looking out to see how much will the bidders propose to the department. I can't say the figure here, but we do have a figure. There's a figure of 700, which was widely publicized in some of our documents, but we expect it to be much lower than that. I think I've already talked about the the sub-issues, and I will do the slide around CENTEC because CENTEC has given us an elaborate presentation. So in this partnership, SABC is a very important key partner. We are informed that SABC, that they are moving towards readiness for DTT. They will also be launching a 24-hour news channel during DTT, or this channel will be available during DTT process. SABC has also submitted additional funding request because we do have a shortfall of funding. SABC and TV are actually collaborating on the implementation of this program, and this includes what we call a free-to-air brand, because the brand really has to be branded and it has to be promoted so that people can take action and adopt it. ETV also is working closely with us, and we believe that informed by the trial that was run in the country for quite a while, more than a year and month ago, ETV is also ready to join, and the CASA process, as the CEO of CENTEC has alluded to, we expect the regulations for DTT to be concluded by September. So SABC and ETV do have an agreement which cemented the cooperation that they have. As you know, honorable members, the MNET is affected partly in terms of this terrestrial transition, and they are also indicating their readiness to join in the program. The tariff issues which are referred there, I think the CEO has dealt with those. On SAPO, I had already indicated on the work that we are doing. Just to say that SAPO is actually, in this case, working with the DOC and USASA to make sure that all of this happens. And USASA is a key partner because Treasury has actually allocated funding to the Universal Service and Access Fund to be used for the set-top box procurement. So in this case, USASA is, if you like, subcontracting SAPO to do the logistics, but USASA is going to make the order for the set-top boxes, as it were. And USASA already has about 940 million, which was allocated for this. This funding is actually not enough, and in this window period of funding, we are making an additional request to National Treasury to allocate more funding in the next MTEF period of 3 years. ICASA regulation, I think I've already spoken about this. Safe to say that this tariff issue is a very important issue to ensure that we can also kick start the migration smoothly, because it tends to be linked to this whole project. And we are working closely with the affected parties on this. Because SAPS is required to do the conformance testing, which is not a small cost, what we have done so far is to undertake a visit with them to the UK to look at the equipment that is required for this. And we have already allocated about 10 million to SAPS to ensure that they can procure the laboratory equipment to do the launch. So not the launch, but rather the conformance laboratory. I had already talked about the launch, which is earmarked for September, and those are the specific dates. I would ask Roy to chip in and speak briefly about the launch, as well as the training and the job creation target on this shortly when I finish the presentation. So the launch, as it were, I think what I needed to highlight here is that the policy envisages two ways of delivering these services. One is through satellite and other one is through terrestrial. And the idea here is that there would be areas which are far outside of in the remote areas, and it has proven to be economical to reach most of these areas
through a satellite service. So in this case, we are anticipating that both DVB-T and DTH are going to be implemented, and Roy will speak further on the launch details later on. Just a quick talk to funding. Go to funding. Next slide. No, yes, this one. Honorable Chairperson, here I just need to indicate the kind of financial constraints that we are sitting with. We do have a shortfall with respect to set-top box subsidy of about 2.635 billion, which is required over and above the 940 million that I spoke to earlier on. The overall shortfall, if we were to include SABC requirement and CENTEC requirement, because CENTEC is also funded for its dual illumination and SABC for its technology upgrade. While looking at completing this whole project in not less than 7 billion. Thank you very much. And I'll ask Mr. Kruger to just chip in on the launch and how this will be done in the Northern Cape.
Good afternoon. What we've done with the launch is we've targeted the Northern Cape area where the SKA, the Square Kilometre Array Astronomy Site, has been positioned for South Africa. The reason we've targeted the Northern Cape is twofold. The first one is phase one of the launch is called a proof of concept. And the proof of concept is to show that the DPT does work. Secondly, to show that it will not interfere with the SKA project. The frequencies that we use don't interfere with the SKA project. And thirdly, to show people in very rural areas who've never had TV before that in the future they will have access to TV. So what we're going to do is, as the dates were put up there, 26th and the 27th, we've already got all the logistics. I'm sure people who are in politics understand that we don't just go down to a site and install these boxes. There's a lot of logistics and political areas that we need to finalize before we move into the different towns. So we're going to target specifically the SKA area where we will put the DTH, direct-to-home satellite decoders, and then just outside Kimberley, in a very rural sort of village environment, we're going to do the DTT, the terrestrial side. So it's two totally different sites, but in the Northern Cape, and then we'll switch this on, and hopefully the minister will do the launch. And I think this is one of the exciting phases of this actual project, because most of you would have read in the newspapers the whole negative side that come from different parties to show or to state that the DOC is running behind, they really, inverted commas, don't know what they're doing. We actually do, and we do know what we're doing, and this project is all systems go. In terms of the job creation, one of the mandates of the DOC is to create jobs with this project. Now, there are a number of jobs that we're going to create. The first one is in the manufacturing environment. And our manufacturing doesn't, because of the automation today, we're not going to create tens of thousands of jobs. We're thinking between 800 and 1,000 jobs in manufacturing. These are both termed what we call new jobs and more jobs. More jobs in terms of current factories, they'll employ more people, and then new SMEs, which will be starting up with the manufacturing of the set-top boxes. The second area where there's a huge amount of jobs is going to be in the installation and maintenance of these set-top boxes. Now, on its own, it's a very simple process. I mean, you would get the box, you'd go, you'd put it in, install the antenna. But as the DOC, we've looked further than that because we've got a parallel project, which is the broadband rollout. So part of the training that the e-skills department is doing in the DOC is to train our targeted installers on both broadband and DTT. So it's not just a short-term type of project that they'll be running. They'll be able to run into the future on broadband. Another area, sorry, we started at to start with, we'll have 3,500 new installers. We've targeted them right down to their names, their qualifications, the towns they're located in, and exactly how we're going to train and how many in each town. So right now, 3,500 individuals. The next area where there's a huge amount of job creation is the call center. So just to divert slightly, you might have also seen somebody writing in the newspaper saying, why doesn't the South African government buy cheap set-top boxes from China? Well, there's a number of reasons. The first one is we wanted to create jobs locally. Secondly, South Africa is not China, so they don't speak 11 South African languages in China. So we'll have South African languages on our locally produced box. The third thing is that we have a thing called user interface. So when you push your remote button at home, that menu and all that comes up, it's laid out in the South African as a South African standard. And this helps when you come to the call center support. So if there's a problem on the box, you can phone the call center, and when you tell them what you see on your screen, it will be standard. If you bring a cheap box in from China, it won't have that information available. Fourthly, the majority of the money stays in South Africa. The only thing we're really importing is a small component. The rest of it is local manufacture. The first thing we're doing on this local box is to implement e-government services. Cheap Chinese boxes don't support South African e-government services. The sixth thing is we've implemented what we call a return part capability. The reason we've done this is it's an innovative thing from the DOC side, because what this allows companies that have got a lot of innovation is to implement what we call a return path. That means the box, those of you who know the set of boxes work, you're not just going to push a button and get not too much information. It means we can use the box to go right out of the box into, for example, the internet, and that information can flow back to you. It's like an interactive service. So that allows companies to come up with educational programs with things like video on demand. So it opens up a whole new downstream value chain. The seventh thing is to introduce games. Now, I know many of you think, well, you don't want your kids playing games. But again, we come back to South Africa. We want South African games, the traditional games that kids play in the rural villages. We bring them onto these set-top boxes. So finally, you don't get those on cheap Chinese boxes. I'm emphasizing this because I know some political parties are trying to push this down the government's throat, that we're wasting money by developing our own boxes. To get back to the jobs, then the call centers will be creating between 2,000 and 3,000 jobs. This is the minimum amount of people. The way we got to the figure was we used the incumbent pay TV operator, who have about 3,400 customers on their system. They have a call center of 1,500 people. We are aiming to have 11.4 million people on our network. So if we just extrapolate that, we would theoretically need about 6,000 call center operators. So even by us targeting 2,000 people to start with, we are underestimating. So we hope we're going to create many, many jobs there. The biggest job creation part of this whole project is content. Temba did mention earlier on that the SABC and ETV, there will probably be, within the next 18 months, at least about 20 new channels between ETV and SABC. This means we need tons and tons of content. We're looking at a number of between 10,000 and 15,000 jobs as a minimum in that environment. I think that's all. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. I now understand why I was really upset if the DG is not here, because this presentation is the period that you have just presented, and that the other one that has just been presented by Mr.
Kruger.
Actually, should have been in one document, or even if it's not in one document, there should be something in black and white that you are distributing to us, because if I'm in my constituency and I talk to the people at the grassroots level, I won't remember all those things that you are telling us. So that's why I want you, as a department, to take this committee very seriously. because definitely we come to that, Honorable Sibande, Honorable Mlenzana, Honorable Mabija, Honorable Jacobs, Honorable Hrunval Jaivalaba. Okay.
Sanbona. Thank you, Chairperson. You know, first of all, I wanted to comment the thing which you alluded to earlier on. You see, we are from the debate in the House. If there are problems, people didn't point to anybody else, but they point to the ruling party. I think we are having principles from the Constitution whereby we talk about the issue of the gender sensitivity. I wanted to appeal once more to the party. The chairperson is here. And also to the department. Don't take us light. Gender sensitivity forming part of what we preach every day. Don't bring us core. In short, that is an abbreviation. Congress of Boys only. We don't need boys choir here. But we need proper service to talk to him, and we mean it. Umama Rabisa alluded to something earlier on. And we will make it sure that next time some of these things are being implemented. If not, some of the people will be requested to go back. Minute. And I thought that the department was going to give notes to Santec and itself to take notes for itself. That when they come here, they make sure that the gender is balanced. At least two, three, you know, look at our representatives. We are all team, but look at us and look at the other thing. I don't want to go deeper in deeper details because to me it's very sensitive. Then come to the questions. Thank you very much also for the presentation. And we mustn't forget that this presentation which we were giving to us, it is a national and international competence. Like, I'm out of order. No, I was referring to something here at COP. You are my colleagues, I won't leave you. We are here to build each other. Not to say that we are destroying you, but we wanted you to change the faces. Yeah, ma, you know, you see, there's something which is worrying me when I'm talking about national and international competence. I think there was a resolution which was taken by SADC that by this term it must be finished. Then also there's a resolution which you talk about the Geneva resolution. My worry is that you spoke when you finalizing about the presentation from the department side that you targeted 7 billion rands to finalize this process, isn't it? 7 billion, isn't it? So my worry, ma'am, if you look for this declaration of changing of the time period of finalizing, I don't think that when we finish, it will end up 7 million. It's going to inflate, it's going to go up. I'm sorry for correction. Have you considered that? And also, from your own presentation, you indicated that you are going to launch this project on the 26th to 27th September 2012, isn't it? You're going to launch it. Yes. So that's my first worry. Because we do have this, but to finalize when are we going to start finalizing it. And then also, I'll put a practical example from the presentation of Santec. On page, I need a clarification, page 13, on the presentation. And unfortunately, the department one, it doesn't have pages, it's just blank paper. On page 13, there is a paragraph down there where you said, listen to this, to me it's a contradiction. If you check page 13, vice page 14. On page 14, you were stating correctly so about the some of this province where we are still facing challenges which we wanted to finalize. I'll put an example which are 13 and 14. You said KZN 10. Your target is 10, isn't it? But on page 13, you indicate, second line from down, where it said Ulundi requires a new MAST and UHF antenna system beside the set-top box, but they are still lacking. They don't have antennas. That's why I don't know where to get my point. It's here. It's black and white from your presentation. Antenna. We talk about set-top box now, but there are areas which still require antennas. I mean from FATEC one. So to me, that is forming part of the conditions. Because I thought that they would highlight to us where which places which are still limping. And I thought, Ma, that she runs, I think this was a good move to call both the FATEC and the department, but you shouldn't call them all. Because there are things which fall part and parcel of SABC. The very same province where we are coming from. We talk about set-top box here. They don't yet have still, you know, is there anything can to access e-radio. If you talk about the antenna, we are very far. Why simple e-radio next zero? You see, that's my another problem. And then, you see, ma, also they indicated that the cabinet, which is very, you know, that's what I wanted to find out, where is the problem? The problem is which, or the cabinet is very advanced than other people, because you said, there's a place where you spoke about the cabinet, that DVB-T2 technology was adopted by cabinet. Then also you said the STP manufacturing sector development strategy and SOS framework were approved by the cabinet in March 2012. So my question, why is the problem? Because you are given a green light, you're given everything, given it, and also I was here to say when we giving the background of the mandate of the DOC, which is the creation. And then also spoke about, to me, it's very touch. When you talk about 11.6 million people, when you talk about between 10 to 15 in content. I'm starting to question if I misquoted you, but you spoke about content. So here is come another question. If you talk about manufacturing, let us be honest. In terms of the competition, are we going to be able to provide service in SADC? As a whole. Because SADC depend on us. They are next to us. Because your embassy, you are seeing a lot of people will be, a lot of things will be manufactured here. And then also, are we going to stand against the international competition? Because you can, let me share with you this joke. A lot of people most of the time will talk about a phone call and what, but be careful. When you look at some of the suits being manufactured by the Chinese, they bought everything. Some of the genes, some of the nani is from China. Their manufacturing plant is in Lesotho. With our mouth, we're saying this is Hong Kong, but practically we use them. So how are we going to make sure that these things which we're talking about is going to satisfy the people of South Africa? Because I'm scared we're buying even parts. Where are we going to buy parts? Is it local or international? And you even spoke about, in your input, the last one, that you spoke about installation repairs and call centers and into choosing games and the like. How do you stop? Let me give you an example. Our kids are so advanced in terms of technology. You can talk about local TVT, but our kids are having access to even internet and which they are cell phones. In terms of games and other things which is naughty. How are we going to prevent that? So, my with this, myself, I was very encouraged because I've got a lot of questions which I can ask. But nevertheless, I wanted maybe to give the other colleagues maybe to speak about this thing. But my last proposal is to call everybody on board so that this mustn't be shifted. I was happy when we used Texantech, we were taken on top. And then we thought that everything is on top. But why things are not on top? Because of the postponement of the dates and the money doesn't stop there. it always is going to inflate. It will one end up in 7 billion rands. It's going up and up and up. And then last month, Ubaba from the department was talking about this. You see, I'll be very much grateful if sometimes you can be assisted. If you talk about SMEs, give us a list. Give us a list. You know why I'm raising it, ma'am? There is a problem which is normally to happen nationally by when they talk about SMEs. They talk about people from around Johannesburg and Western Cape in the capital cities only. They don't talk about the geographical spread of all those diseases. Now, last month, sorry ma'am, only the last one. About this, how do you check, I mean, when are you going to popularize this thing? How do you involve local people from the rural areas and the like? Except advertisement in English, in South Africa, in terms of our constitution, we have adopted 11 languages. When are you going to start by advertising to, I mean, to educate our people about this new development? I'll pause there.
Thank you, Chairperson. I will not go back to issues raised by Honorable Sibande, which I had already earmarked. One would like to know. My questions deliberately are not only going to center because there is nothing much that the department did in terms of presentation in this meeting, but they should also account for what Sendek is reporting to us. How do you define rural and urban? You are talking to me who comes from a rural location of Mount Frere in Eastern Cape. I know what a rural thing is. I know what a rural town is. And I know what an urban town is. I'm looking at your page 7 and 8. That's why I'm asking this question. In your page 7, you are saying the actual population coverage in the Eastern Cape. You're saying 30%. That is the first block. If you go down now where you are, breaking into rural areas, you are saying 52% rural, 48% urban. Now you go to page 8, we are beginning now to be specific. You show me that the western part, which is the urban part of Eastern Cape, is inland and rural. Is totally that rural dispatch, which is also part of Port Elizabeth, Grahamstown. What about the eastern part of Eastern Cape, which is the rural part of Eastern Cape? No mention. But yes, you are talking nice percentages when you are talking rural. With page 14, it's just a correction. It's just a correction in page 14, which I would appeal to you. Otherwise, this document could be seen down there. You would be child like anything. Matatiel is not part of KNA. We fought battles. Now, if you are going to remain with Matatiel in KZN, you are messing up that province. So please, change that with immediate effect. Page 10. I listened, but as I was listening, I was looking you spoke of about four provinces. But I tried to figure out where are these other provinces. Because here, you are talking only two provinces. You say you're almost there, if not finished, with Mpumalanga. I looked at only this band whether I was smiling or not, including the chairperson, because there's nothing about Mpumalanga yet. I've even forgotten this fourth province. Because here, in terms of documentation, you are talking only two provinces with enclaves, which takes me, Chair, to another question now broadly, as to you have talked of protocol. Fortunately, Chairperson has been consistent with this debate. I had questions which were responded to. I know the SADC resolution. I know the International Telecommunications Union's resolutions also. You have got two templates. So today you didn't reflect on both. Let me ask because I know. Do you think South Africa will be able to meet both the analog switch off dates of December 13 as per the SADC resolution and as well as the ITU's date of the 1st of June 2015? If yes, could we be provided with a schedule which is like the one I see in page 10, which is very clear, which says this is the duration, this is how far we have gone, this is the start period, this is the finish period, and all. If we could get that, so that we know and we are able to account and also assess, so that we are not shocked with time when we come back and with our stories. Also, there has been a question there that I have been asking consistently, particularly after our Japan tour. And also, particularly for the department of the eloquent people, even today, I could listen that Mr.
Kruger
is very thorough and eloquent and articulate issues. But now, one would be interested. Which ultimate mandate is South Africa towing? There would be BRICS. There would be SADC. And now, today you are talking of Lamastan Kong, the owner of the band, which would then affect your BRICS arrangement. You are now talking UK today, if I listened well. You had reasons to kick out Japan, which was also ready. There's no mention. Why? What has happened? You are talking of South Africa establishing. I'm not sure. Here we have to be schooled, gentlemen. Is it manufacturing of this set of boxes? Is it a question of, like, getting pieces? I'm literate. I'm illiterate, sir, about these things. That's why I'm using pieces. Like where you would collect one piece and that and that and that, then you use South Africa to assemble what you call a set-up box. Or you are saying the manufacture would be done by South Africa correctly, as was said there, so that you are able to link up with your call center and all the good, you know, reasons that you are raising. But now, if then that is the case, how far are you with the training of the would-be manufacturer? And who would be those manufacturers? Avoiding a situation where we would be faced with a situation where they have been hand-picked individuals. Because I doubt if you would be able to go out on tender for people to manufacture something they also do not know, because nobody here in South Africa could stand up and claim that I am perfect as far as this is concerned. When will this STP be finalized? You are talking of the scheme. But today it's more chairperson of the strategy than the scheme. But before, it was more of the scheme. And one would want to know which is which. Honorable Spande is talking about the price changes, inflation. Before we were told of, what, 700? What, 700 rand? Yeah, it was 700 rand, if I still remember. I don't know which was that. Are we still sticking there? Or has there been changes? I'm asking this chair because once we take this document and we go over to our constituencies, this is what we'll be telling our people. That we, now, one would be worried if you talk 700, only to find that by the time the actual thing is implemented, you are talking 1,700. Thanks, Chairperson.
Thank you, Chairperson. According to my perception about this logo, it's very, very good because to me it says go digital, right, to the Rainbow Nation, and expecting that that will be covering a lot of people. And now, unless you are cogent enough to me that with USASA that has many internal problems, so much that the minister has to appoint two caretakers for the agency. Do you think USASA will be able to deliver on their mandate in terms of set-top boxes? Unless you are cogent enough, I should think this right will end up a war. So let's fight that this right remains the right. Convince me.
Yeah, thanks. You have to be patient with me. You know, I'm a layman. I was taught arithmetic when I was in school. I was not taught medicine science and this technology. Coming back to my questions, in the rollout for the Free State, you are talking about Saint Rand. Where is that? I don't know the place called Saint Rand in the Free State. And also, you are talking about Fixback Town. So it means we are excluding the township if you are saying fix the town. And does it mean this rollout, you would have finished all places in the Free State, the 11 that you have mentioned, or the, it will be for another budget? It will be for another budget. Now, that's why I'm saying a layman. This DTT, when it is being installed, does it mean it is going to even to cover the rural areas? Or it will just cover the one that we're receiving TV? The other one that I'd like to know, you are installing set-top boxes. Is there a time where we are going to have TVs which receive directly this, which will be digital without installing STPs? That's another question that I'd like to get an answer. These set-top boxes, the gentleman there was talking about set-top boxes from China. Why are we allowing them?
to sell these to our old country. I will see that if you are talking about job creation, because it means people will be going for these STPs. Or maybe our scientists, are they failing to make this imported sector to be useless? Even if you can buy it, but you won't be able to use it. I just want to check with you whether these people who are doing these STPs, can they do something like that? So that even if China brings them here, but they're going to be useless, so you have to go there and buy our own. The other one is in fact people are going to be trained in towns. I don't know which are those towns. And also trained for what? And also how will they identify those people who are going to be trained there? Because I think it's important that we should know. For instance, I see here a town has been mentioned. I'm lucky because my town has been mentioned. maybe you knew. Yeah, so that's why you are here installing it. In fact, I come from that area, so I would like to know how these people were identified and the criteria and so on. So that when I go back, I must go and check that. Even the surrounding areas, because we are nearer to, you are talking about Vitisuku, I'm also nearer to Vitisuku. So that's the information that I'd like to know. Yes, thanks.
Thank you, Chairperson. Well, most of the questions are asked at this stage, so it's always nice to be last. A couple of things. You make mention about the antennas and it is very heavy, very equipment. So, and that antennas is meaningful for the transmitters, to put the transmitters on. And where are they manufactured? In South Africa or where? And I also want to know, at this stage we took a lot of job creation. How many people are already enrolled and active in this whole process, and new jobs are creating for them. So I've got a feeling at this stage a lot of people must get a benefit out of it. If you can give us a figure for that, I'll like it. And then I also worried about, you mentioned it and we must talk about it, the imported of all the set boxes from China. And 2009, when you present, we had the first presentation from your people, it was said that a lot of these boxes is going to be imported from China. And today it's a different story. If we listen to you, it seems to me we are going to manufacture the boxes now in South Africa, but there's still a lot of other things we must get from other countries. And my question is, why can't we do everything now in South Africa? Why must we still import it from the equipment in the boxes from other countries? I think that we've had a knowledge at this stage. There's a lot of people who've had knowledge in South Africa to do it by ourselves. And then in that way we can create more jobs. The whole thing for us in this committee is to see that people in South Africa get jobs of South African money. So the money must stay in South Africa so that we can look after our people. And that is the main thing for me as well. Nothing else. And I want the answer of that. Why must we still import a lot of these things? I don't think it is necessary. You explained last time also to us the low power we are going to use for the set box and the televisions in certain areas. What exactly is the low power? You've got a line from Eskom to our communities, and how are you going to delay it from that to a low type of power? What is the use of the low power? And then I'm also worried about the rural areas. You might mention of the rural areas, and you said when you finished, the whole province is covered. But I'm telling you, we visited Limpopo a year ago, and there's still places there who haven't got radio signals. If you said you covered a whole province, the deep rural areas,
have also been covered. That area in the mountains where signals is very difficult to get there. So are you also covered that? Because that is the questions we are going to get from the people on the ground. If you can answer that as well. Yeah, and then the launch in the Northern Cape, who are you invited to that launch? So I feel very strongly that the committees, us and the other committee, must be there to see what is happening on the ground. Thank you.
Thank you, honorable members. If time allows us, we'll have a second part. To the department, your presentation, like I said earlier, it doesn't actually say much. Because, for example, you were speaking about consumer awareness campaign, but you don't provide any details. I mean, there is so much that we don't know. And you don't give us the detailed information. And then the other one is the South African Post Office requires 200 additional outlets and to meet the postal license conditions of rolling out a post office for every 10,000 people. Yet it will be required to partnership with DOC to roll out a set of boxes. Will the post office have the capacity? If maybe you can clarify us on that. And then DOC again, the Digital Migration Office. Where is it? What will be its mandate? When will it be fully staffed? And how are you going to deal with the requirements for more content when additional channels are created? Mr. Kruger, you spoke of 800 to 1,000 jobs. If you can give us the time frame, when will this start? When will the people start training? And what criteria are you going to use to select the people in provinces? What criteria? You know, it's not the first time that you come to us, but and all the time we are saying, can we have that relationship? Can you talk to us? We've got constituency offices that we really feel that if you talk to us, information will be sent to these offices and the people on the ground will be aware, will know exactly what the government is doing. But because you don't remember us, you only remember us the day before you come to the presentation. We don't have this information. And maybe if you can, you know, guarantee us that these jobs will be sustainable. The call centers. So it's really interesting. Call centers. Where will these call centers be? Because if I can tell you, I'm from Mpumalanga. My constituency is Hazyview, the rural area. There is also Nkoma Zemangweni. So if you talk of call centers, where do you really mean? Where will these call centers be? I remember we did ask this question one time. We were on oversight, but it was through Vodacom. Because all the call centers are in the middle of the cities. So as we are here, we are rural people. We are from the rural areas. We want to be assured that by 2014, all of us, different parties seated around this table, when we campaign, we will be able to say that call center
in Kudu, it was because of the efforts of the Select Committee on Labor and Public Enterprises. And so your presentation, Mr. Kruger, if you can go back and put it in black and white, send it to Loli, to the secretary of the committee, so that we have the documents that we can really be able to work through when we do our constituency period. Because we do plan meetings. Don't think that maybe if you're not talking to us, we're not promoting you. We aren't really promoting you, Mr. Peer. Or the leader of the delegation. We tell people that there is a Department of Communications. And the request from Honorable Sibande, we're still going to implement, to say SIPC must be here. Centec, your partners will also come back, so that all of you, and I think if we were talking to each other, by now, the presentation, let's say you, the department saw that the invitation said joint presentation on digital migration. Did you really talk to Centec to say, Centec, what are you going to talk about? Can we sit down around the table and see how we align our presentation? So we want you to talk to us, and we're requesting you also to talk to your entities when we invite you, so that you have one information, you know. Can you please respond? Centec, let me not forget you. Wait. Centec, I have a question for you. Because you are not in court, you are not in court. In terms of amended policy, Centec, you were to achieve 74% of the population coverage by early 2012. And then it is now August 2012, and you have only achieved 60% rollout and only 12% in rural areas. Why are you so far behind in rural areas? Yes, Centec. And then the other one is with regard to awareness campaign. When will this awareness campaign be to inform people about the DCT? And then when will it commence in rural areas? Turn this thing around. Your awareness campaigns, let this program start in the rural areas. If you can just turn it out. Ningakalejos. I was happy when you mentioned Limpopo. To say Limpopo, you spoke of three, Limpopo, then Mpumalanga, and the Free State. But as my colleagues are saying, I don't know what who was doing research for you to study in the areas where you started, because that's why I was saying if you were talking to us, maybe you could also get information to say, like for example, the other time when you were here, we said, I think it was Kasa or yourself also, we said we went taking parliament to the people in Sikukuni. This lady said to us, I bought TV so many years back. Every day I dust it. Every day I dust this TV, but I no longer even dust it because I'm angry, because I can't keep on dusting this box that doesn't do anything. So your research, maybe you must also change the way you start things. Thank you. Over to you. You can respond. We will come back. You see, Napoma number 8, Gunakinka, because the house has already set. Now, today we are free. We can go as far, as long as we want. Over to you. I don't know who's that department, doesn't it? Huh? No, don't worry. I'm saying we can, I'm the chairperson, Honorable Funavas. We can even finish it at 8 o'clock. Those who have got flights, you can rebook your flights. You'll leave with the last flight.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members. I must state that the non-executive directors are 8 in number. We do have apologies from Ms. Hlatshwayo, Ms. Zanel Hlatshwayo, and Ms. Rapeti. So basically, we are 8. And female is Ms. Hlatshwayo, Ms. Khumalo, and Ms. Rapeti. So I think it was an omission on our part, Chair, when you started with the DG, not apologize, when you alluded on the DG. So it is an omission. So we are trying very hard to ensure that female are there, but they have submitted through the acting company secretary their humble apology that they will not be able to join us. So we are 8 and we've got 3 female.
On that one, next time the males must apologize and then the ladies must come.
Okay. We'll take yeah. And then I will hand over to
just for correct record. Your page 2 does not reflect what you are saying.
Yes, it's because Honorable Member, it was sent earlier last week, the document.
Okay. Sorry, my people were covered. The thing he mentioned to the she didn't mention her.
I was referring to non-exec. Okay, thank you. Okay, Honorable Chair, I will for the questions that were raised by Honorable Members. CEO will come in. We've taken some questions and we are trying to, as much as possible, to answer those questions.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Member, for the questions. I'll just deal with the ones that are, since we're targeted at CEDEC. And then, yes. The issue, I think, about escalation of costs, particularly around the part of the project that FinTech is doing. We have catered for that in the budgeting. The budget that we put last year was a 3-year budget. Certain things that we buy from outside, that we put some escalation in there, and then lots of local labor for doing the work. We continue monitoring the costs on a regular basis, and we haven't seen escalations that are outside of the boundaries that we have set in there. But certainly, I think on set of boxes, the DDG will be able to respond on whether the costs are going. I think it did intimate that the costs are going down as opposed to going up on the set of boxes versus the 700, the previous 700 that was originally planned. Then, in terms of the readiness for the September launch, on our side, we are supporting the department. We have set up a project team that regularly meets with the department. Our contribution there, from a step point of view, will be the network. We provide the DTT network around Kimberley and then the satellite network around the rest of the Northern Cape, particularly the SKA. We'll be demonstrating the fact that at the end of the project, what the BDM policy, the amendment that was made, was a very specific amendment in there, which said 100% access for free-to-air broadcasting services. I don't think it was, even the original document was very specified that yet. In this case, the policy says that if, for example, people are in the SK area where on behalf of that project we can't have radio and television signals terrestrial, then they will get services via satellite. And the policy in fact goes even further and says that the people there will then be subsidized for satellite reception. And the policy goes further and says where we are launching low power, I'll explain low power later, but low power essentially targets, like you're saying, the lot of communities that are around mountains or valleys where signal is not able to reach. The signal that the size that we have here are size that were put long time ago. But they have a big range, maybe around 200 kilometers. But if you are behind a mountain at the edge of that, you won't get the radio and television signal. So what we do is, in the low power, is we now put a specific site on over the community that is tied into that community. And it's low power because then it covers the area, the small area. So, and we're doing it across the board in all provinces. And we know, we've noted that in the Northern Cape in particular, that's where the density, population density is quite low. So there's lots of communities where you find maybe, you know, sometimes 200, even, you know, 1,000 people where the main site does not reach. So we put the site there on top of it. And we do that. We've gone to all provinces. We've gone to this in Cape. We recently launched in Northwest. This constitution applies everywhere. So our contribution for the launch will then be on the infrastructure, and then anything else that we are asked by the department to contribute on. The question I think on Ulundu and Phase 13 and 14, yes, Ulundu there is, we specify that the new mast and antennas will have to be installed. Just want to give comfort that the mast and antennas are there. It's just the physical work to put them in. We won't do them in this financial year. We'll do them a little bit later. But it's not a risk to the project alone. We will be able to have completed the KZN by the end of the by the end of 2013. And we do acknowledge that there are all the places that don't have radio. We do have that project with the LABC. And the challenge that we have is twofold. One is people just having radio no matter what the service is. But the second issue that we're working with the CBC on is on diversity of languages. We note here in Cape Town, you can't get radio services. You can't get Lesedi, you can't get Tobela, you can't get Gwalagwala. And so one of the things that we realize is both geographic coverage of the radio services, but also diversity of the radio services. I've been drawing that from the constitution and so on and so forth. And it will be a long-term project. We do realize that there was some neglect in this area, but we will be pushing forward on that. On page 7, that's a question again on rural and urban. We do use the staff essay documentation on how they define rural and urban generally. Yes, I just wanted board member reminded me of something else, that with DTT, all the radio services from the SAC, I think there are 18 radio services, will be carried on DTT across the country. So no matter where you are, if you have DTT coverage, you then have all the radio services. At least you can then access them on your television. That's a very big step because the current radio services are really around the pre-94 boundaries. DTT immediately removes those boundaries if you're accessing the radio services from television. do have knowledge in terms of rural that the on page 7, what we have there is something that was designed in 2006 when the project started. So we acknowledge that the skew is urban. However, what we have said now is that on page 11, is that moving forward, let's say we go to Limpopo, we are going to all the sites. We're not going to choose urban first or semi-urban and then go to rural. It's going to be all the sites that we have in Limpopo will be converted in one time. So that whole distinction of urban and rural will go disappear. It goes away immediately with this new provincial-based project. And we do acknowledge Maritela will change it permanently. I apologize for that. The project plan, I do apologize, we didn't show the project plan for other provinces. So what we have is that we have a project plan, the detailed project plan for this year's project, which is targeting 80% population coverage. So yes, what you see there now on board is the now it's Limpopo, and Free State, that was in the presentation, but you also have the others. So there's Mpumalanga there, showing that we'll be finishing the rollout in the for example Mpumalanga here shows that it will be the first week of March next year in 2013. We have completed everything, and we know which sites will be doing. And then we should also have the other sites in KZN. Sites we know where need to be done. And then we have the other sites in Eastern Cape that will be doing this financial year, and so. So we have the project plan covering all provinces and every site, and that project plan is detailed enough to tell you activity, whether it's antennas, whether it's buildings, whether it's upgrading the electrical systems, and so on and so forth. I'm certainly there. I think the question was, looking at the sort of deadlines and DT deadlines, what is the overall project plan? And I think that will be, I know it's there, it has been developed, and it's probably being updated by the project team, and they will probably give a response on that. STPs, I think the department will respond to that. It's outside of our mandate. Now, the Free State, the Switzerland is around constant. That should be constant. There's two sides there. There's one next to our area, and then another one when you go to Velcom on that N1, when you branch out, that's where the site is. But probably that's why they got named differently. Yes. We can give you the maps of all the sites. I think probably even better is to have to be sure where the sites are, is to have maps. So these maps here, these maps that we have here, we can show the province itself. So we have a provincial map, and then where the sites are. And then we can do other things. In fact, we are going to upgrade our planning tools so that they can go all the way. If you wanted to ask and say, I'm in this place, where is coverage or where is coverage coming, any place at any level of granularity, we can show you. But that will be coming. We're still going out. We're still building that tool. But certainly, right now, we can respond back with the provincial map showing where this sites are. Okay, we'll do that. Okay. also, I think the issue again of rural and urban, we're removing that. So when we do free state, we'll do all the sites in free state and so on. I can confirm that there will be TVs, there are TVs that are able to receive UTT directly. And that should be, they're there in the market are being sold. And how they fit into the program, I think the department can respond on that. Then we will come back with and we'll respond on the job creation. There's been a lot of activity, we've made a lot of commitments and engaged many local companies on this project. There's a lot of data. It's something that is quite fairly new for CENTEC to, first of all, keep the data as we engage and send our RFPs. We get the data and record the data about the companies that you're asking. Who are you? How many people do you have? How many people are going to work on this project and so on? And then compile it. So we are still putting that together and we'll provide it as soon as the analysis has been done. But I can confirm that we have certainly increased the local participation quite significantly. There were statistics before, in 2006 and 2009, the data was very, very different. But we've changed that quite well. So the antennas, a lot of antennas are coming from outside, but the installation of all of those things is done by locally. And within a mast, for example, you see the feeder cables, there's the antenna system, there's the mast itself. So where we are strengthening the mass is all local companies, local structural engineering companies. Now when we upgrade, maybe we get some of the antennas from outside, but the installation is done by either local companies or our own riggers. Then there's feeder cables that go to those antennas, the new ones, all of them are coming locally. And then the generators, and then, for example, we have upgraded a lot of generators. The companies that do the needs are local companies. And they also, in this case, they are quite spread out around the country. For the buildings in Limpopo, for example, we are engaging the construction companies in Limpopo. We still have open tender processes, but saying that different reasons we engage in the local companies. That all of that data will be compiled when we report back. I must say that we have been asked to put together a full broadcast master plan, which says, first of all, let's not talk about population coverage, because population coverage does not talk about that person who lives or the small community. That if you say population coverage, you say 95% coverage. That 5% is a lot of people. The constitutional requirement is the right to information for everybody. So we've been asked to do 100% access, which means that everybody, then we are targeting everybody. And where we're working with the SABC and CASA on the broadcast master plan, it's not something that will be coming out. I think it will most likely be in our corporate plans when we submit them in the next year, and responding to those questions once and for all. The 74%, what happened to it? We did raise, it was in our original corporate plan, but last year around, immediately after our first quarter, we realized the problem, and we then made public the problem, which was that we realized that our supply chain was not needed to be beefed up. We said we have to do things fast, but we also have to do things right. So the target was actually changed to 60%. But on the basis that we have a strong supply chain department. I think we've achieved both 60% when we've done the, we've picked up our supply chain quite extensively. And to the extent that most of the supply chain work on DTT is almost complete now. The other issue was also the change of standards, DVB-T to DVB-T2, changes a couple of things. We had to step back on some of our plans to be able to. We rolled out a lot of transmitters, so we had to upgrade the existing transmitter systems to be able to comply with the new standards. The again, why we're so hard behind with rural areas, we are catching up. The new provincial plan will force us to catch up with the rural. With the government on providing services in rural areas. Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you.
Thank you, NTP.
I think we put a presentation here, and we have a logo which we have actually saying the city has to be right. So the mandate of the DOC with respect to this project is to provide policy direction, to coordinate all stakeholders who are affected by this, which is SABC, Centec, ETV, and MNET. And we are also monitoring how all these entities are delivering out of this. I may not have brought in a lot of detail, Honorable Jefferson, here, because there is definitely a plan on the communications awareness, a detailed plan, which we can provide. In fact, we will provide. There is a detailed plan around job creation. There is a detailed plan around training, which is run by Dr. Verso. So all of that information, Jefferson, we're committing to send it to the Honorable Chairperson's office so that we can give you enough detail on this. There is a number of questions, Chairperson, which you will be able to just respond here nonetheless. So the issue about the competition in SADC and whether we will be able to provide a set of boxes in the SADC market. So there is local capacity to manufacture set-top boxes. This is what the report tells us. The Department of Trade and Industry, together with the Department of Communications, went to a number of factories around the country. And this is what informed the decision by Cabinet to ensure that set-top boxes are manufactured locally. And the Department of Trade and Industry is also making efforts to designate set-top boxes as a locally manufactured product. So that gives a lot of incentives to our local companies to create the jobs that Mr. Kruger was talking about. So the idea and the decision is to ensure that the cell boxes are manufactured locally. And this is what we need to drive. The SADC market is expecting South Africa to actually support it with respect to trade into the South Africa, the countries, and we believe, Chairperson, that this is actually an opportunity for our local manufacturers. And in this case, manufacturers will have to beef up the manufacturing capacity that they have because the economic opportunity is actually inexistent and is guaranteed because DTT does guarantee immediate demand for the orders. There is a point I need to clarify here. The chipsets which are in the motherboard of the set-top box itself are actually not locally manufactured. They are often available in Japan and other advanced markets which have had a lot of acceleration with respect to research and development. So those are bought and by manufacturers and the whole assembly of all of the other components, so the whole motherboard is actually populated in the country, and we believe that it's actually local manufacturing in terms of the trade and industry the rules. The list of SMMEs, I think, but we have asked the South African Post Office to also do is to ensure that these SMMEs which they'll be working on with respect to logistics, they keep a record of that. We have not as yet met a call for the set-top boxes to be put in the warehouse, but SAPO has made a lot of preparations in this, and this list can be provided once SAPO is able to engage in this. With respect to the 2013-2015 deadline by both SADC and the ITU, Honorable Chairperson, we are working towards an ITU deadline. It's very clear that 2013, this country cannot meet the rollout of DTT by 2013. This leaves us with about 13 months or so. So that's not sufficient for all of the work that is required to complete the project. The Centec map also shows very clearly that there's a lot of work which will still need to be done beyond that period. And also with respect to the funding requirements that are required for all of this work, it's clear that we need to look towards the deadline of 2015. So that is the time at which we are expecting switch off, because that would have given us a full three-year period at least to do the work. But the DVB-T2 and ISDB Japan issue, this issue was actually concluded by SADC in November 2010. So the decision to adopt this standard as opposed to the Japanese standard was informed by the consensus reached at SADC level. So, there are many reasons which have informed this decision, amongst which is the fact that the role of Region 1, which is Africa and Europe, had adopted this similar standard. So it was within reasoning that this standard would tune into the Region 1 as a whole, as designated by ITU. And some of the studies related to the IDBT were not actually finalized by the ITU to enable the region to adopt or consider ISDBT, and some other countries which were considering this, in fact, are shown to have retreated because of the uncertainty on the functionality of the technology in some of these markets. So this decision is actually a collective decision of countries in SADC, as it were. Manufacturing and assembly, I think I have answered this. This is definitely a manufacturing opportunity. Assembly can be there, and repair and maintenance will definitely be there and will add up into the sustainability, as it were. But we are striving for local manufacturing. And in fact, the plan is to make the set-top boxes from anywhere else stupid so that they don't tune into this market. As it was suggested. So the conformance testing is a way of ensuring that the set-top box market that complies, which will likely be South African-based set-top boxes, are then adopted widely. And our call centers as well are geared towards supporting these locally manufactured products, because they will be known to be complying to the local standard which we have adopted. With respect to the pricing, prices are actually informed by high levels of adoption. So as countries of the world adopt the technology, definitely the price comes down. This is a simple economic principle, and we definitely are expecting that the prices will not reach beyond 700 of the set of box specifically. And they should be in the range around 400 and something rands, not 700 as it were, it was previously announced. So the local manufacturers, this is what they are also telling us. So we feel that the budget we have and the calculations which we have put already are quite safe with respect to whether the cost will escalate. So these are the costs which have factored inflation, as it were. There was a question, in fact, about whether USASA is cooperating fully and is playing its part in this project. USASA indeed does have several challenges currently, but with the cooperation and the support that the DOC is providing to USASA, this is why we're able to make all of these decisions on where USASA will play a role, how it is cooperating with SAPO, and to ensure that it plays its part in the project. So with the process to fill up the
I mean, the executive positions which are vacant at USAFA. USAFA will be coming back to its full functionality in the next few months, and this should enable the organization to function well in the immediate future. So the integrated digital televisions, as opposed to set-top box, televisions are actually available in other markets, and definitely they will be here in South Africa. It's only that they are very costly at the moment, these televisions where you will not be required to have a set-top box. But they will definitely be here, and with the normal adoption of technologies, as it were, people will gradually find it easy, especially those who afford to buy those televisions directly. But we do think that poor households can afford them at this point in time, and hence the decision to subsidize them through the purchase of a set-top box, because we don't take a responsibility as government to make sure that people who have analog televisions are not excluded simply because they cannot afford. So that will be that. So I mean, I think the issue that Mr. Kuga here was raising about the Chinese boxes, the emphasis is that we want to keep the South African money in the local economy, and it should benefit the local people through jobs and growing the economy, as it were. There could be here the World Trade Organization rules with regards to the trading of the component of set-top boxes. Our understanding is that you will not necessarily disallow or ban any country which is a signatory to the WTO to exclude trading into our local market. So this is an issue that we have actually discussed extensively with the Department of Trade and Industry, who is responsible for that. And they are taking enough steps to provide incentives for the local market, including lifting some of the taxes which are normally charged for this commodity. I think there was a question here. The job creation figures which we had worked on of about 23,500 direct and indirect jobs speaks to all the components that Mr. Kruger has provided here. But at the launch of DTT in September, and at the point of making a decision about the local manufacturers who would be allowed by government to then make the set-top boxes, especially subsidized set-top boxes, available, it means that is the kickstart period of ensuring that the people are actually participating in the job market in this sector. So what is actively happening now is actually training, preparing for that. The local companies which we have visited in most of the provinces in the country do have skills. The only issue here is that these manufacturers are currently manufacturing, say, televisions, normal televisions as we know them. Some are doing decoders. Some new factories are also coming into the country. We have observed that is also happening. So the whole preparation and expansion by industry is actually evident. With the request for information which we received, it does show us that there is sufficient preparation by the industry to respond to the call for the set-top boxes to be available by this year. So with regards to the DTT awareness campaign itself in detail, other than the plan that I have referred to, that it is available and the department is implementing, we'll make it available. But the launch of that is in tandem with the launch in the Northern Cape. So we will begin to see in all languages a mass campaign, not only on radio and TV, but also outreach programs in various provinces. The campaign will follow the Centec finalization of a coverage, signal coverage in a province, and in that province we then ensure that we have focused awareness to make sure that the people in that province can then adopt DTT. So because this is actually a project that people have to take action. And SAPO, definitely SAPO is assuring us, in fact our assessment makes us believe that SAPO is the better way to reach rural people. Because they are almost everywhere. This may mean that some of the outlets need to be upgraded, or they may need to build new ones. In their plans, they also have that, but SAPO is definitely a very important stakeholder here, and it's the best way to reach rural areas, because almost everybody knows where the SAPO outlet is. So the partnership is actually working well, Honorable Chair, on with SAPO, because what they're doing for us, they're doing three things. So they're doing logistics and warehousing of all of the decoders to ensure that there's also a safe way in which these decoders are moving throughout the country. And because of their presence in almost every part of the country, they're able to distribute this with much ease. Their detailed plan is actually convincing that we'll be able to work with smaller players, small SMME operators to provide this. They are also helping us to develop a online system. And this is a capability they have, because SAPO has also had a system for distribution of pension in parts of the country. It was very clear to us that other than us going out there to spend a lot of money, you can actually ask SAPO to upgrade its system to see if it can meet our requirements, and they were positive with this request. Of course, at the charge, we are paying for all of the work that SAPO is charging us here. But it's very clear that they were best positioned to immediately do this, other than the fact that they're in DOC SOE. So investment in content, Honorable Chair, as a conclude here, is a very important part in a very expensive part of the project. It's ABC funding for content. It's actually very sizable. ETV as well is also expected to increase its content reach, because, 18 channels is not a small number with regards to content. So we are hoping to, over time, have content. Of course, SBC will not necessarily launch all of these channels, 18 of them at once. But with the channel, they had about 11 channels. They started with 8 and then they increased like that. So we're expecting that SABC will be phasing in all of these channels over time. And so the issue of content is a very key issue, because that's also what attracts people to take up DTT. And Honorable Chair, the issue of call center is a whole point, because the funding for the call center is actually not as yet guaranteed. We are approaching National Treasury to get the money for the call center. At least the size of the call center that Mr. Kruger was talking about. SABC has designated a small portion of it's building and site for call center, but it will definitely not be enough. So we are expecting a really big call center. ETV is also going to have its own call center, and so that both of them can support this whole project. But at a technology support level, it's very important that we have a call center that can meet all of the requirements. Honorable Chair, there is a lot of information we need to provide to you. If you give us a timeline, we'll be able to send the documentation that you require in more detail. Thank you, Honorable Chair.
Thank you. Members, how much time do I give?
No time.
No time. Okay, when you arrive at the office, Mr. Piri. Days, Mr. Piri. 14 days.
No, Chair. The information is on the laptop. You just have to transfer. You just to email.
Tomorrow. Even tomorrow, can send it to Loli, because that information you said you've got.
Mr. President, respond.
Yes.
You said you've got that information. You said the awareness programs are there. So what do you do when you arrive in the office? Just instruct your secretary to actually send them to the committee secretary.
Hello, ma. Sorry,
Chairperson. I'll give you until Friday then. Till Friday to send them to the committee secretary. Okay, and the launch, Mr. Peer, you know, this time I'm begging that you must inform us of all the activities that are happening in provinces from the department so that we are part and parcel of the history that the department is making in the provinces. For example, the launch in September, I think if we can receive this invitation on time, we can plan to even have other committee meeting on site. And then so the SSBC, CENTEC, ICASA department, we meet there. We plan to meet there. So we will await. It's not the first time that we request this, that we say let's talk to each other, let's have information on what is happening in provinces, in awareness campaigns. If the whole committee can't come, definitely maybe we can send one member from that particular province to represent the committee. So you say we agree when we are around this at 315, but when you go out, you forget that there is this electron to 11 public enterprises. Okay, so it's just the last one. The DG, tell her, she only came once to this committee, just once, when I congratulated her on her appointment. We had, yeah, definitely, she came once. So I don't know whether she doesn't want, or she's always busy, but we really need a very written apology to this committee. Thank you, CENTEC. Thank you, the department, the meetings and agents. We will communicate when we go and meet, even not here, because we have taken a decision that we're not only going to sit around these boardrooms. Our meetings are going to be held sometimes in Limpopo, where you are telling us there is this development, that's what we're going to do. Or in the first stage, thank you very much, the meeting is adjourned, and thanks for coming. Minutes, honorable members. We have the minutes of the 30th and the 8th. Okay, you only received the ones for the 8th now. Ningahamba bantwana bengozi. Ningakhululeka ntate Mashile. Ke gore ke re likakhululeka. Yes. Likakhululeka ke ne ke bua sele sa kwa bogadi. Yaanong ke re likakhululeka.
I'm taking my eggs and kissing them sometimes.
Okay, my honorable members, you've got the minutes of the TS. Have we gone through the minutes? Honorable Mabise? Okay, honorable coronavirus seconded. The ones for the age, you have just received them now, so we won't, we'll look at them next time. Thank you, honorable members. I wanted to inform you that there are students from PE who wrote to the committee. I forgot this thing, but I'll inform you, even I'll send the letter to you, because I think it will be during recess. They want to come and meet with the committee here in Cape Town. Talk about public enterprises. What are the opportunities for them? So even on public public finance management. So I said when I received the letter, I'll sit down with the whip of the committee, sit down with the whip, Mr. the chairperson of finance, Mr. DBA, and then look at the other committees also, like even education, because they are from the university. But I'll talk to the whip first, so that I'm informing you, so that when we come with a plan that during we will meet during recess, then the whole committee avail itself. Yes, the school children.
Yeah.
Yes, I think.
And the details about the fund.
That one is for next week. Oversight to but we're coming back Monday, because today we've got a meeting of Honorable Sibande, and then after that meeting we leave for oversight. Yeah, we know the whips won't be around. They are going to Australia. They leave on Friday. Yeah. Yeah. The researcher says she thought of doing it early, giving us this document early, because there's a bit of information that we have to look through. Thank you so much, Ronel. The meeting stands at the end.
I'm recording.